Good morning. Last time I was here, I got scared by you guys and I got stuck. And I believe I didn't do a good job because I got afraid or scared of something happens to me. And that's why I got surprised when Pastor Joseph called me and said, would you like to come over and teach? And I said, are you going to risk it? The last time I came, you lost half of the congregation. and he said, oh, come on, Ernesto, come over. And he was so gracious to call me again. So I hope that today we're going to do better. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a gracious God. I thank you, Lord, for saving us. That, Lord, you rescue us from the hands of Satan, Lord, and now we are a different people who love you and worship, and we love you, Lord, because you got us out of Egypt. Lord, you're so beautiful, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you talk to us this morning, and as Pastor Joseph is hunting, Lord, over there, just keep him away from grizzlies or anything that hurt him. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bring him refresh and ready to continue, Lord. I thank you for being our God, for choosing us, for saving us, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been teaching on the book of Exodus, and I found great parallels in what God did in those days with what's going on today. And the one of the beautiful things that we can pick from these passages, we're going to go through the 10 plagues, and how amazing it is what the Lord did with us. Remember Pharaoh in chapter 5, verse 2, he asked this question, who is the Lord so I can listen to his voice and let the people of Israel live? I do not know Jehovah, and I will not either leave the people of Israel go out. So, by the end of the 10 plagues, Pharaoh will know who was God. And it is amazing that even though he did so many amazing miracles, he did not soften his heart. He didn't went back. He said, oh, wow, this is the true God. This is the real God. So I'm going to worship him better than all the gods that we have. And instead, he continued. He proposed in his heart to continue all these false gods. So we see that the first plague, he came against the Nile. And the Nile, it was the pride of Egypt. It was used for transportation. Imagine this huge river where ships will come with all kinds of goods from different places, and it will bring abundance. And besides that, the Nile will have lots of fish and animals inside of the river. And so it will bring great prosperity. And every year it will overflow and bring new fertilizer, if we can call it, you know, the sediments from up the river and create great harvest. The wheat was so good in Egypt that when the generals will use a strategic in their wars, because the soldiers will eat this wheat and will last longer in the fight than other people who will buy the wheat from other countries. So it was so good, this wheat. Then God comes, you know, and he says, you know what, let my people go. As you remember, as a background, Joseph came with his brothers, about 70 people they came, and now they have multiplied. And by the time that the book of Exodus starts, we see that it's almost about 2 million people living inside of this nation. So we have two nations living inside in the very same place. And so Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. So the, one of the first plagues is the, that he changes the Nile River into blood, and all the transportation and all the commercial boats that will come with good will come to a halt. And thousands and thousands of animals, imagine putrefying inside the water, and tremendous economy, you know, he went on decline. They had a god. His god was Khnum. He was the guardian of the Nile. He was the god of the overflowing, the flooding of the river. And they also worshipped Api. Api was portrayed as a bearded man with breast of a woman and also had a pregnant stomach. It was something really gross. And the Egyptians will give thanks to Api every day. So why is he bringing God these judgments against these gods, this false god? Because he was going to defeat them one by one. So he was going to bring to judgment and everyone who will worship this god. Just imagine if something like this happens in the United States. Imagine for a second that the refineries, the few ones that we have in the United States, for a moment they will stop for a week. Imagine what will happen to transportation. Imagine what will happen to all the goods that are coming into the cities. Imagine the prices. Imagine a barrel of oil for $400 because they're bringing from our enemies, from Iran or from whatever far lands where the oil-producing places are, because we are unable to make more refineries and stuff. Imagine the price. Everything will go up. And that's exactly what happens to Egypt. The economy became to... It just dropped immediately with the change of the water into blood. And then we have a funny, I think in my opinion, it's a funny plague. We have the plague of the frogs that they multiply so many. They came out from all over. And Egypt being a worldly guy, I imagine going to his fridge and trying to get a cold one and he finds a frog inside. Or get into the bed and he will find, because the Bible says that they were all over, even in their beds. So imagine things jumping on your stomach and going, wow, it was pretty ugly, you know. But they worship the frog the same way they do it in India, that they worship the cows. Well, they used to worship the frogs, and the goddess was Hecate, and they couldn't kill Hecate because he was a goddess. So here we have a whole bunch of frogs. They couldn't kill them. And the funny thing is that Hecate was the wife of Khnum, the creative god. So Khnum had a very ugly wife, you know. So, and then the third plague was the fleas or gnats. And those things came over from the dust of the ground, you know, and just to go back, we can imagine that they start piling up all those dead fishes, and then after the frogs, and then piles of frogs, and you can imagine the smell, and now we have this infestation of insects that coming out of the ground. And why? Because they worship Geb. That was the Mother Earth, just like today they worship Gaia. So here we have, now we see Pharaoh just crashing all over the place, piles of frogs and fishes all over, and still doesn't get the idea of just forget it, you know, let's go with the real God. But we know that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he also, the people of Egypt will worship Pharaoh. They believe he was a god. He was a god who will have balance in everything. He will be like, he will keep the order, cosmic order. And now God is proving that Pharaoh is not a god and he's not able to control anything. Well, after that came the plague of the flies. I don't know if you've been by the river and sometimes you're swimming or whatever. And we in Mexico, we call them tábanos, the big flies. And when you're wet, they come and just seem like they're sucking you up and it hurts so hard. It hurts a lot. And we have a whole bunch of flies. Well, the Egyptians, guess what? They had this god, and with this god we are familiar. His name was Beelzebub. Beelzebub is the god of the flies, the lord of the flies. And then a real god will prove him that, you know, that Beelzebub is not the real god. He's not even able to scare any flies. He's the one that in chapter 11, verse 15, they were accusing Jesus that he was casting out demons. The ruler of the demons, he was by Beelzebub. Remember that they accused him of being casting demons in the name of the demons, and of course, you know. So now here we have God, the true God, Jehovah God, Almighty God, just erasing one by one all those demons. Then we have the fifth plague or the fifth blow, and they worship the rams. They worship the bulls. They were for Apis, and the cows were for Isis, and the calves for Hathor. And then we have the rams of Saint Louis. No, they had they were offered to Amon. So now we have a disease that is attacking all the livestock, and they have something like the mad cow disease, but now it's attacking everything, you know, all the livestock, cows and horses and camels and goats and all the stuff. And now we see Pharaoh on foot, you know, it's dear horses die and probably have a beautiful chariot, but no engine, no more leather jackets, no more cowboy boots, nothing. There will be no more cheese either, no more milk and donuts, nothing. So we see how hard can be man, that even when God is showing himself so strong, will not lift up his eyes and say, Lord, you are God. There is somebody who's really have a great power. So now we see that Pharaoh doesn't have a T-bone steak, no more tacos, cow tacos. He could only have tacos de frog. And so even the economy went even lower. And then the sixth plague was boils. And every time I read boils, I remember Job, that he, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, they had this big inflammation, and it was so ugly, and the magicians were scratching, and it reminds me something like hell, you know, that people will be in torment and gnashing of teeth, and still they listen to the gospel and they don't lift up their eyes. An incredible itching, so even the magicians couldn't be in front of Moses because they were too busy, is crashing probably with pieces of wood or whatever, you know, and they still doesn't bow to the Lord. And then we have the seventh plague, that was the hail, and it was the worst one they have ever seen. And God was showing that he is powerful, that is over the elements of the earth, that is the Lord of the earth and of heaven, and still didn't give him glory. He is sovereign. So now we see that the vines and all whatever that was the crop and livestock, they continue into more destruction. It was something like creation, but in reverse. It was incredible. But they had also gods for this. They had Shu, the god of the atmosphere. They had another god who's Nut, the god of heaven. And they have Tefnut, the god of the moisture. So now we see that little by little, God is showing who is the real God. And if this were not enough, now come something worse, locusts. And imagine, come let my people go. So they come over and worship. They come, Pharaoh was impeding or he was stopping the people of Israel from giving glory to sing to him, to serve him. And Pharaoh was just like a block. Every time I remember, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, wow, how many times I heard the gospel before I give my life to the Lord. How many times the Lord was trying to save me and I had a very stiff neck and I wasn't paying attention until finally the Lord put me on the ground with an overdose of cocaine and alcohol, and I heard his voice and he said, what's your next move, Ernie? I don't have any more moves, Lord. But if you give me life, I will serve you. And finally from there, he picked me up and he gave me the privilege. I can't believe that I'm behind a pulpit. For me, it just blew up my mind. I just go, wow, wow. He put me in the middle of beautiful brothers and sisters in the Lord that we love each other because we have something in common, and that is Jesus Christ. So we have, now we have the plague of the locusts, and imagine the wind blowing from the east and a great black cloud began to cover the land of Egypt. And the experts said that there is about 10,000 grasshopper in 10 square feet. So it's about 1,000 grasshoppers in 1 square foot. So you can imagine the devastation. There was nothing left. Every fruit, every leaf on the trees, nothing. And still don't give. But they have the god Isis, Nepri, the god of the grain, Anubis, the guardian of the fields. So now God is proving that Anubis is unable to protect them. He's showing who is the real God. And we understand why God was punishing Egypt with all these plagues. Because Pharaoh was a cruel tyrant. He was very, he would not give in. And we can see that we have a great parallel with Satan. He doesn't let his prisoners go. He just wants to keep them. He wants to destroy us. The same way he wanted to destroy you before you knew the Lord. He will never give any prisoners back. So he decided to punish Pharaoh through insects, through amphibians, through everything. He was going to punish them with darkness. So now he's showing that God has power, absolute power over all his creation. But Pharaoh, the more he was suffering, the more that he hardened his heart. So now we have the ninth plague, and this is where I'm going to stop a little bit and talk about this. The ninth plague was going to be darkness. And why darkness? Because I don't know if you've ever been in total darkness. I remember one time I went to some caves in Madera, California, and the guide took us down to the ground. I don't know how far from the surface, but we have light bulbs all the way down the path. And the guide said, "Do you know real darkness? I'm gonna turn the lights off for 10 seconds, and so you will know real darkness." So everybody got hold, getting ready. He turns the lights off inside on the ground, on the bottom of this thing. Total darkness. I never seen something so dark. I will put my hands on top, in front of me, and I couldn't see nothing. Before the 10 seconds ended, the little girls and boys become to feel uncomfortable, and you can hear, you know, like, oh, ooh, and by the time people were almost loud enough to so we can hear them. And I remember, I go, wow, you know. I was afraid of dying. I was afraid. One time I went to a funeral. I went to the place where they put the body, and I saw how deep this thing is. And I got horrorized to see how dark it is. When I think about what will happen to people who reject the Lord once and once more time, and how they harden their heart, and how they can be, you know, so stubborn to reject Him, that He's light. And I go, wow, Lord, thank you for saving me. The Egyptians have Horus, the god of the morning. They had Athens, the god of midday, and they had Adam, the god of the evening, of the dawn. But their supreme god was Amon-Re, the one who said, I am the great God who came to existence by Himself. So He was saying, I'm the supreme God, I'm the number one, I'm the big cheese, and there is nobody behind before me. So they will sing songs to Him that they will say, it's something that we hear familiar. We're familiar with these songs, that it says, you are the unique, you are the only one. There's nobody like you. You molded the earth as you wish. That's what they used to sing to Amun-Re. So they will give Him attributes that didn't belong to Him. They were saying that He was the one who created everything that works on the earth. Every winged insect was created by Him. And every morning they will renew, you know, His power. We will give Him honor to Amun-Re. And they believe that Pharaoh also was the son or the incarnation of Amun-Re. So he was a god. And we will see in the last plague that his son was going to be killed by God. Because according to them, you know, if his God is untouchable. So God was going to show him who was really God. He was, they say that he was the one who in the morning will bring light into the morning. And we know that is our God. Let's read on chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hands to the sky, so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hands toward the sky, and total darkness covered all the Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet the Israelites had light in their places where they live. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, go and worship the Lord. Imagine all of a sudden, total darkness. Like I was telling you when I went to the caves. Total darkness. You couldn't see anything. This was thick darkness where it was there. And when he says about 3 days, you also say, well, the nights were also darkness. So here we have six periods of darkness. And imagine the horror. If before, you know, at the cave, there were beginning to yell in terror by the darkness. Imagine all this time of darkness. I could easily imagine, you know, people screaming and yelling and horrorized because they couldn't see. I heard that when people are exposed to total darkness, they try to see something so hard that they will close their eyes. They try to figure that it begin to itch the eyes and become, you know, they hurt the eyes by trying so much to see. So we see that all the God, Amun-Re, the God who illuminate the earth, have failed. Everything was in darkness, not even candles or whatever were useful to do that. Darkness in the Bible also means error, ignorance, sin, rebellion, and death. In Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble." So, just imagine to see all that. Imagine just total darkness. Incredible. When I see how people doesn't want to come out from their sin, they don't want to. They hear the gospel, they ignore it, and they continue in their own ways. In John 3:19 says why. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I see how Juarez is being evangelized. You know, 4 years before we moved into Juarez, I used to go with Calvary Chapel Albuquerque with caravans, like 50 brothers and sisters. We will do dramas. We will do anything, dressed as a gorilla. We will do anything to call the attention of the people of Juarez. Preach the gospel. Do something. And you know what? None of the churches in Juarez ever got one single people trying to get into the church. It was just the emotion of all those dramas. And I know that prior to my going to Juarez, there were other brothers and sisters that went before me, and there were no change. They hardened their heart. I remember we were living in a trailer that a person gave us, this travel trailer, and Joseph, Pastor Joseph Gross, Marshall, and Rick Billett, and others went over and visited us. And one of them, I don't know who that is, God knows, one of them prophesied. And he said, among some things, he said that God was going to do a great job in Juarez. And at the time, we were surrounded by drug addicts. We had a big guy there, Salvador, who sold us the land. And yet I heard this prophecy in this little kitchen in the trailer, and he said, God will do a great job. And lots of people will come to His knowledge, to the knowledge of Him. And at the time I was a little bit skeptic. I said, wow, we're in a trailer. We have this blue canvas that we gather on Sundays. And then later on, little by little, the Lord allowed us to build one building. And I was thinking, Lord, just allowed us to open the door and put my foot there and let me have a Bible teaching. I didn't know what He was going to do. When our neighbors now talk to us and tell us what they used to think about us, imagine in Juarez to drive a big truck is status, a symbol of status. That's something that everybody wants to have, a big truck. A pickup truck. And now they see us, just a Joe, I don't remember his name, he helped us with a big red truck. He pulled his trailer and parked it. And all the neighbors said, you know what? These guys are drug lords or sicarios. And so they were thinking we are cartels. And then one day I was approaching a lady and I was wearing sunglasses. I used to wear sunglasses. And he says, oh, ay Dios mío. Oh my God. A drug lord is approaching me. And they're definitely from the mafia. So I invite her to come to the church. And while I was approaching her, she said, for sure he's going to try to tell me something about drugs. Because I never seen anybody with sunglasses who is a good person. Later on, she was talking to us, and she said to her daughter, "You know what? They're Cristianos. Son Cristianos. They're Christians." "What? They're Christians? Yeah, and they're going to put a church. They're crazy. Don't they know where they are? Where they are? Don't they realize they're crazy?" And the woman says, "Well, if they're crazy, God will protect them. And He has protected us ever since. He's been showing us that, well, yes, we were crazy to get in there. We got into this very ugly place. And through the time, now, this is a miracle. They paved our front street. And now we have a paved street. And we have a church. And we have an apartment where Maggie and I live. And now we're in the process of construction, building the real church, you know, the real church building." But anyway, it was amazing how to see how the Lord has been moving and moving and pushing away all those drug addicts that used to be around us. You leave a broom, you leave a shovel, whatever you leave, they will jump the fence and steal it just to buy drugs. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "The Lord your God will drive those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate at once, or the animals will multiply around you." I remember that for some of them, we were enemies, and we are real enemies to them, even to drug lords, because they know that when people listen to the gospel, they will stop drinking, they will stop using all those drugs. So we are enemies to those drug lords. And yet the Lord, you know, has been protecting us from all that. Then we had a season where the kids were throwing rocks. Imagine your house being rock, literally, for about 6 months. Rocks flying, falling on your roof and hitting your car, making dents, trashing your vehicles outside, throwing BB guns against the windows. And then I will pray, you know, I will go, "Lord, please, what's going on with them? Don't they realize that we want to offer them heaven, peace, and beauty, something really, really nice?" And I could see those kids walking so proud, and they will go like this, "I'm the king of the street, and I'll graffiti your wall. I will do this against you." And as a Christian, you're not allowed to get a shotgun, you know? Sometimes you feel like, "I'm going to do this against it." You know, they're destroying our things. But we continue. And you know what? At the time, I didn't realize why the kids were so bad. And they were bad because their fathers were bad. Their fathers were selling drugs. They're in drug cartels. For decades, Juarez and all Mexico is being corrupted all the way down from the highest places in authority. Bribery and ways of getting around difficult things. They would demand money for everything. And the drug cartels will offer lots of money to the chief of police. I used to be friend of one. He used to help us to deliver the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes. He will help us to cross them, to go through the to customs. He will give us, he will cooperate with us. And he will do many things. And he used to tell us, "You know what? You see my desk? You will open the bottom door and it will be filled with $1,000 bill, the whole cabinet on the bottom, and the other one too." And how easy it is to get corrupted with so much money. And that man was executed together with his son. So now we have in Juarez, used to be a place where a lot of party, there is some hills where I used to take the groups and place the vans on top and look down into the city And have you seen in Walt Disney and Disney World, the small world where you go on those boats and you see little towns around, and you, as you go by, you will listen to music, and you will go, well, that's the way it was Juarez. You will see, hey, look at those guys, they're having a party, and they will have the drum, and all the hair, and look at that, those guys. They had abundance. They were selling drugs. There was open market. Everybody was nice. And I cannot boast that it was because of me, but I used to pray. When they were graffitiing our walls, praise God, there was a lady who gave us a whole bunch of paint. And as soon as they come over and graffiti, I will go with the same paint. And I said, let's see who gets tired first. And I got tired first. And they continue. They were immersed in total darkness. And I came to the point that I said, Lord, you know who is yours. You know who belongs to you. You know who is the one who will be saved. And you know who will never give their heart to you. Lord, why don't you turn them loose? If they love so much Satan, if they just worship so much, if they're in their songs they worship to the big truck, and they give worship to the mafia, to the power, and to the AK-47s, and if they worship so much this false god, this fake happiness, because they have their pocket filled with the $100 bills, if they worship so much, Lord, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm just so tired. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. But I can boast that this thing happens because of me. There is no way. But all of a sudden, Presidente Calderón from Mexico started this war. And the way they say that this is Mexico, and in order to kill all the cockroaches or rats, they have to bang the bottom, the sides, and they will move all these rats will move towards north, and they will corner them in Juarez. Thank you. You know, they corner them right there, and they went all the way up, and all Mexico is a whole bunch of killings. Last year it was 1,625. Right now the year is not over, and we have 1,500, pretty close to 1,600. We're going to reach the same amount pretty soon. So that means the violence has increased. And we see extortion. Businessmen being kidnapped. They ask them for an incredible amount of money. Money they can even provide. I remember one guy that I used to go. He was Carnitas Don Epi. He will make carnitas. You know what carnitas are. And he will make these carnitas with hickory wood. And very good. Anyway, they went over and asked him for $20,000 a month. And he was able to fulfill the first month. And then on the second month, he said, you know what? I can't. I don't produce that much money. So what they did, they executed him. And that's not the only one. So now they're killing a whole bunch of people, from lawyers to drug addicts. Last Wednesday, after I finished the service on Wednesday, I turned the TV on, and they had this news that they executed 17. They were in a rehab center, so that means they were trying to get rehabilitation, and an armed commando, they call them, they went over and killed everybody in there. And one of the mothers says, I don't understand this. Those guys who killed them are the ones who sell the drugs, and now they kill them. But they've been reaping what they saw. They've been, for years and generations, they've been poisoning all the youth. And the youth, they have no hope. All they want is to have the big truck, the big leather you know, the boots, ostrich boots, they like to have their hat and to put those corridos, the music, stupid music, and they feel like kings, and that's all they hope they have. It is so bad. We used to have Juarez used to be like very happy, well, at least fakely, but there were a whole lot of people in the downtown, a lot of businesses making business, and now not even 50% is open. Kidnap, extortion. If you're driving a nice vehicle in Juarez, don't go to Juarez at the moment. If you're driving a nice vehicle, they'll stop you in a stop sign or whatever. They put a bullet on your head, and they will step you out of the car. And if you're lucky, they will not kill you. If God, it's just incredible what's going on. In Ephesians 4:18, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them, because they blinded their heart. The people of Juarez have repented? No. They continue. There is a man that they told him, you know what, we're going to kill you. And then they say, you know, as soon as this thing is slowed down, you're going to work for us. So they're going to send them to do a duty job. They're going to send them to steal cars. They're going to send them to sell drugs. They're going to send them to kill somebody. And if he refuses, he's going to be killed. Just around our block, there is more than 20 drug leaders. A few of them have been executed, but we have a whole bunch of them, and sons and daughters of those people, and the sons of daughters of those people, they walk like I am, you know. I can kick you, I can graffiti, I can do this, all this. So they don't repent. So when I see all these plagues going in Egypt, I see the reflection in Juarez. Juarez, as the magician stole Pharaoh. Don't you realize that Egypt is being destroyed? Don't you realize that there is no life here? Lack of work. Now the need has increased. The economy is on the ground. And then we have the swine fever that took our country even lower. And you know what? United States is not safe also. A crisis can come at any time. We have a God that is a supreme God, a God where we can go through. And you know what? When you are in a very ugly place like Juarez, you realize and you bring the promises of God and you say, Lord, Your word says that if an army encamps against you, I should not be afraid. So therefore, I'm not afraid because you will protect me. And if you send me there, you will provide. And you will keep me healthy. And you. And at the end, you will take me to heaven. Is we have our hope in someone that is light, who doesn't want you to live in darkness. How sad is what is waiting for the people who have their necks so stiff, so stubborn, that they don't lift up their eyes. Remember the prophecy that I told you that a lot of people was going to come at this place and a lot of people was going to come to the knowledge of Him. Now we are at full capacity with the chairs. Praise God, we have enough room. But we're almost with no shares. And that's a beautiful problem for God. Because we can buy shares if needed. But I see how words God is so real when you are outside. When you are, you know, in the middle of the battle, I cross the border and I have my confidence in Him. I don't believe in any gods. In anybody. And then on the last plague, we see the death of the firstborns. Chapter 12 says about the lamb. Every family was going to pick up a lamb, and the way it was going to be sacrificed and to put the blood on the doorpost of their houses. Before that, every plague, God was making a separation from Egypt and the people who live in Goshen, the land where the Hebrews live. But on this last plague, the Egyptians and the Hebrew people needed to do something. They were under death warning. You have to do something by yourself. You have to kill this lamb and put their blood on the doorpost, and the angel of death will pass by. When he sees the blood, he will walk by. The Lord always gives to us what is needed for salvation. To Abraham, he gave him a ram. Remember Cain and Abel? Abel offered also a lamb. Well, guess what? God gave us the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sins away. How beautiful. Now all we have to do is to receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our heart and say, you know what, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I don't believe in gods and false gods. Mexico is a pagan country. They're idolatrous. They worship a lot of images and saints. In every town they have a specific saint. San Isidro, San Quilmas, San whatever. But we have one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of man. If we repent and we are humble enough and lift up our eyes and say, Lord, I'm yours, please forgive me my sins, then we have the Lamb of God to take away the sin of man, and He will give us hope, and He will give us life, and He will take us to heaven, and one day you and I will gather over there with Him. This is not a beautiful promise. Just to close, let's open our Bibles in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. He says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. He signed it. In the same way, you know, now He's doing something even beautiful, because He was going to give him the land, but now it's even better because He's giving us heaven. If we could put that in our mind, that it's not a piece of property on earth, but it's a place in heaven. Remember in John chapter 14, He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If they were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. So is it not a beautiful promise? In my Father's house there are many rooms. There's mansions. There is a beautiful thing waiting for us. There is a reward waiting for us. So there is no time. As we see the economy of the United States going astray, as we see that, as Obama said, that we're not a Christian country, as you know, as we see that we see the world going, getting closer and closer to the Antichrist, we can continue to walk with Him with perseverance, with assurance that He will protect us. All the plagues, they found protection in Goshen, the Hebrews. And then on chapter 12, they didn't find protection on this death of the firstborn. They needed to do something. So now we have accepted the Lord, and we can find assurance and protection that He, you know, assurance that we will be with Him in Juarez, in Silver City or whatever. And God, you are an awesome God. I thank you, Lord, for choosing us before the foundation of the world to be holy and spotless before you, Lord. I thank you because you put your eyes in every one of us and you chose us. And you are continuing to cleanse us and making us more and more like you. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.